David Bowie from his dress wearing days in 1970. But he wasn't the only guy dressing like a girl and shocking normal mainstream rock fans. In the fall of 1971, four former teenage gang members from Brooklyn decided that playing in a band sounded way more fun than petty burglaries. So taking their name from the New York Doll Hospital, which was a real store on Jamaica Avenue in Queens that specialized in fixing rare dolls, the New York Dolls began scaring people in Manhattan in the spring of 1972. Their first gig was at a sleazy hotel in Times Square. They showed up wearing makeup and dressed in spandex and fishnets and professing to be gay. Or maybe it was bisexual. Didn't matter. It was just as weird. This was shocking. And yeah, people had heard about this glam rock thing that was happening in London, but it was nothing like this. The Dolls took that look miles further. And as for the music, all the songs were short and raunchy. No solos, no complex arrangements. And who cared if they could really play? It was back to down and dirty rock and roll. The New York Dolls and Personality Crisis. Now, because they were so weird, they were written off by most people. But because they were so weird, they found a big following with people who loved weird things. And then there were those who believed that the Dolls represented the best in rock and roll, that idea that attitude and energy mattered more than virtuosity. Soon, the Dolls were playing regular gigs alongside Iggy Pop and a band who took the makeup thing even further. They were called Kiss. But before we go down the Dolls road, we have to go back to Bowie. While glam rock was all the rage among teeny boppers, it had the trappings of disposable bubblegum pop to many people, Bowie was ready to take things to the next level. First, the hair. His new wife, Angela, found a puffball hairdo in Vogue magazine. It looks dated now with its mullet-like profile, but in 1972, it was beyond trendy. But the big media storm came when Bowie publicly professed to be gay in an interview in Melody Maker magazine in January of 1972. This made the whole dress thing look minuscule. This was also when Bowie introduced his most famous character ever, and one that would change the course of rock music. It was a doomed, androgynous, glam spaceman, inspired by everyone from Andy Warhol and Lou Reed to Bob Dylan and Frank Sinatra. He was part Clockwork Orange, part autobiography. And he also contained the DNA of an obscure American singer named Vince Taylor. Bowie called his creation Ziggy Stardust. David Bowie performing with his band, The Spiders from Mars. Although Ziggy was around for only 2 years, he became an enduring rock and roll character. Books and PhD dissertations have been written about Ziggy. Psychologists and sociologists and musical scholars still debate and dissect the character. And Bowie's unique use of image and theater made Ziggy one of the most profound inventions in the history of rock. And you want to know who really enjoyed this artsy, theatrical, fantastical approach? British kids, who were bored with the rock and roll mainstream. Inspired by Bowie's audacity, they'd later start something called punk rock. Now, we'll come back to Bowie again later, but we have to go back to America to check out a guy who had no time for all this theater. For him, it was all about the basics. And that story is next.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Please take notes. There will be a quiz.
107.3, The Edge.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
Every single day, Alberta Children's Hospital is here for kids. You can be too. Every dollar you donate through the Country 105 Caring for Kids Radiothon provides life-saving, life-changing, world-class care to kids when they need it most. Make a difference and donate by calling 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com. That number again is 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com.
Dish it out.
It's okay, chef.
No comment.
And dig in.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh my God.
If you don't know the story,
wow.
You really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Think Turkey, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Daniel Blanchard is no ordinary thief. His heists are ingenious. His escapes defy belief. And when he sees the dazzling diamond CC star, he'll risk everything to steal it. His exploits set off an intercontinental manhunt. But how long can CC star stay lucky for Daniel? I'm Saren Jones, and this is A Most Audacious Heist. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the casinos of Vegas to the bingo halls of Leduc, everybody wants a piece of lady luck. And what thanks do I get? It's like I don't even expect.
There's no such thing as luck. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit gamesenseab.ca.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
This is Chapter 2 of the complete history of alt rock. While Bowie is showing British kids that it's okay to be weird and to proudly proclaim your outsiderness, a Boston kid was doing the same sort of thing, albeit in a much quieter way. Jonathan Richman was the complete opposite of the big names of the day. He wore his hair short, and he was against using drugs. He could often be heard yelling, "I hate hippies," around Boston. And instead of being into the Beatles and the Stones and the growing prog rock scene, Richman preferred the strange rawness of the Velvet Underground and the Stooges. In other words, most normal people viewed him as being, well, a little more than a little weird. In 1971, he recorded a series of demos. The songs were stripped down, droning bits of fuzz and distortion with sharp and pointed lyrics. Guitar solos and drum solos were forbidden. And compared to where mainstream rock and roll was at the time, the Jonathan Richman approach was, well, very, very different. I want to play you something. This was recorded in 1971, but it sounds like something an indie band might release today.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Jonathan Richman and Roadrunner from 1971. I still think that sounds pretty cool, and it might have been a harbinger for the punk to come, but the time wasn't quite right. Jonathan and his band, The Modern Lovers, toiled in obscurity for a couple of years before breaking up in 1974. However, two members of the band went on to bigger and better things. Drummer David Robertson found work with another Boston group called The Cars, and keyboardist Jerry Harrison soon hooked up with a new band called The Talking Heads. And both The Talking Heads and The Cars would eventually become major components of the American New Wave era. Now, where were Iggy Pop and the Stooges in all this? Well, at about the same time Jonathan Richman was recording Roadrunner, the Stooges were being dropped from their record label. They were also getting deeper into hard, hard drugs. But riding to the rescue was, of all people, David Bowie. Iggy's craziness had made him into one of Bowie's musical heroes. The fact that he was in almost a constant state of mental instability fascinated Bowie even more. He saw beyond the drugs and the crazy, animalistic, demonic, self-destructive stage antics. Bowie saw that Iggy was actually very, very intelligent. He convinced his manager to take on Iggy and the Stooges as a project, and the result was an injection of cash that was enough to make an album that was designed to be so intense that it would actually hurt people as it came out of the speakers. Be careful with this. Iggy Pop and the Stooges from 1973's Raw Power album. That's called Search and Destroy. Of course, the Stooges couldn't hold it together and everything collapsed. Iggy eventually ended up at a mental hospital where his only visitor was, you guessed it, David Bowie. Now, despite Bowie's patronage, Iggy and the Stooges remained fringe characters, which, by the way, is just how a certain group of people liked him. Those kids who got into Bowie because of his weirdness also accepted his acceptance of Iggy. And this is how the first three Stooges albums became some of the most important templates for what would be eventually called punk rock. However, Iggy was not Bowie's only musical hero. He was also a great admirer of the Velvet Underground, specifically Lou Reed. Again, Lou was on the fringes of the fringe. No one except the uber hipsters gave a damn or even knew about Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground. Bowie did, though, and he offered to lend his patronage to Lou. In 1972, Lou ended his exile at his parents' house on Long Island, where he had been quietly writing poetry for more than 2 years after stomping out on the Velvets. There was a solo album in 1972 that kind of confused his record company, but Bowie saw lots of potential. And this is when he offered to produce the next record. Bowie and his Spiders from Mars guitarist Mick Ronson helped Lou find a new sound. The result was a record called Transformer in 1972. Three of the songs were commissioned by Andy Warhol for a Broadway musical he was trying to stage. And everybody's surprised the album contained a genuine top 40 hit, despite the lyrics. This song told the true story of a number of people in Andy Warhol's circle. There was Holly Woodlawn, a transsexual from Miami, another transsexual named Candy Darling, and the Sugar Plum Fairy refers to a Warhol regular named Joe Campbell. The first version was recorded with drumsticks, but then it was recorded substituting brushes for those sticks. And the result was a smoky, sleazy nightclub feel. The saxophone bit at the end was played by Ronnie Ross, the guy who taught Bowie how to play sax when he was a kid back in the 1950s. And that famous sliding bass line? That was the creation of a session player named Herbie Flowers. Actually, there are two bass lines here. One is from a stand-up double bass, and the other is from a fretless electric. It has since been sampled countless times in hip-hop and dance songs around the world. And you want to know something? For his trouble, Herbie was paid $30.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Huh. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. She said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do, 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 do.
In November 1972, and an AM radio hit on both sides of the Atlantic, despite all the raunchy references. That's Lou Reed and Walk on the Wild Side. Hey, where are the New York Dolls? Where are they in all this? Well, not doing so well, I'm afraid. Let's get caught up with them next.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3, The Edge.
Have fun at Casino Days. Play thousands of games, including slots, tables, live games, and jackpot. Join the fun at Casino Days. No purchase necessary. Open to all players 18 years and older. Free to play. Please enjoy responsibly.
I want to see you bring the heat.
Dish it out.
It's okay, Chef.
No comment.
Dig in.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh, my God. Hey!
If you don't know the story,
wow,
you really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Hellman's, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Canadian Music Hall of Fame inductees Chilliwack are set to rock the Bella Concert Hall March 21st and 22nd. This might be your last chance to catch those sweet melodies and classic harmonies live as they bring their Gone, Gone, Gone Farewell to Friends tour to Calgary. Get your tickets now at tickets.mru.ca/Chilliwack. Chilliwack, March 21st and 22nd at Bella Concert Hall at MRU.
Every single day, the Alberta Children's Hospital is here for kids. You can be too. Every dollar you donate through the Country 105 Caring for Kids Radiothon provides life-saving, life-changing, world-class care to kids when they need it most. Make a difference and donate by calling 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com. That number again is 403-802-2700 or at kidsradiothon.com.
1073, The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
As Lou Reed was working with David Bowie, as Iggy was searching and destroying himself with the Stooges, and as Jonathan Richman continued to hate hippies, the New York Dolls actually seemed to be on the verge of something. As they were being courted for a record deal, Rod Stewart, of all people, invited the band to London to open a show for him in November of 1972. But then drummer Billy Mercia got drunk. Two groupies hauled him back to their apartment, dunked him in cold water in the bathtub, and poured coffee down his throat. He suffocated, and he drowned. Back in New York, they hired a new drummer named Jerry Nolan. The record deal came through, and a self-titled debut record was released in August of 1973, but outside of the band's immediate circle of fans, no one noticed. There was a second record, came out in the spring of 1974, and they called it Too Much Too Soon.
Yeah.
The New York Dolls from their second album, Too Much Too Soon. That's called Human Being. That record didn't do anything either, except for the owner of a small, weird clothing shop in London. His name was Malcolm McLaren, and he chanced upon the Dolls when he was in New York for a clothing show. He'd been thinking about getting into band management, so when the Dolls were dropped from their record deal and needed new management, the completely inexperienced, but very ambitious, Malcolm stepped in. He thought the Dolls needed a complete image makeover. That would fix everything. So it was out with the spandex and the makeup and the big hair, and in with red leather. And whenever they played live, the backdrop would be a big Soviet flag. Eh, not the smartest move back then. And it wasn't as interesting as the sexual weirdness that had attracted the original fan base. There were a couple of tours before everything fell apart while the band was on the road in Florida. But some recordings do survive. Here's what the Dying Dolls sounded like in 1975.
When I say love, you best believe I'm in love.
The Dolls, live in March 1975. A short time later, they were done. But all was not lost, because Malcolm McLaren went back to his shop in England with some definite ideas on what he'd do next time. Back with a look ahead to Chapter 3 in a second.
The ongoing history of alternative rock. We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
Guys, shh, she's coming.
Surprise!
celebratory bubbles paired perfectly with Drink Sense. Keep alcohol enjoyable with moderation at drinksensetips.ca.
Love is in the air.
I love you.
And I love you.
And you? And you? And you.
Wait, why are you looking around the room?
Why choose between your beloved items you don't currently have space for? Sentinel Storage has flexible and affordable storage solutions. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca. Keeping your treasure safe to be loved again. Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian. Store Canadian.
You there, have you tried Subway's new Snackwich bundles?
Whoa, you're a bundle of energy.
But they're just $5!
Okay, chill.
There will be no chill. Get a toasty turkey ranch Snackwich with crispy potato rings. It's a bundle of a deal.
Oh, sounds tasty.
Or a hearty soup with a honey mustard ham Snackwich on Chabana. It tastes like a bundle of joy.
Yes, I get it.
It's delicious. And $5 at Subway.
Okay, bundle me in.
Price and participation may vary. Extras, taxes, and delivery additional. Expires February 16th, 2025.
Are you gonna say it?
Yes way.
Like, so worried about my sister.
Rudy, you cannot marry a murderer.
I was sick, but I am healed.
Returning to W Network and Stack TV.
The West Side Ripper is back.
If you're not killing these people, then who is?
That's what I want to know.
Starring Kaylee Cuoco and Chris Messina.
The only investigating I'm doing these days is we poop the pants.
Killer messaged you yesterday.
This is so dangerous. I got to get out of this.
Based on a true story. New season Mondays at 9 Eastern and Pacific. Only on W. Stream on Stack TV.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
As 1973 wore on, some people thought that something was happening to music. Lou Reed had a top 40 hit. David Bowie was an international superstar. You even had to celebrate that the New York Dolls had a major label record deal, for a while, anyway. At the same time, there were those who firmly believed that the peace and love ideals of the 1960s were a miserable failure. The premise of hippie culture had failed. Meanwhile, the music on the radio was just awful, and it was getting worse. Somebody had to do something. It was time to get real. And things began to get very real at a small club in one of the scuzziest parts of New York City. And this is where we finally get to the concept of something called punk rock. That's next time. If you want more like this, there are hundreds of ongoing history of new music podcasts available for free. All the platforms have them. Make sure you follow and like the feed so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you can rate and review, that would be great. We can meet up on all the social media channels. There's my website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. It's updated every day. Plus, there's the free daily newsletter that goes with it. And I have another podcast. It looks at the intersection of music and true crime. Look for Uncharted, Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry, wherever you get your podcasts. And I welcome any emails, too. Drop me a line at alan@alancross.ca. Technical productions by Rob Johnston. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Alan Cross.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Sundays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on 107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative. 107.3 The Edge.
The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
They shot a movie once in my hometown. Everybody was in it for miles around. Some kind of heavy stain. Well, I ain't no movie star, but I can get behind anything. Yeah, I can get behind anything. Get it out, get it all. That thing, make it never stay. Well, I can't catch her, but I can get behind anything. Yeah, I can get behind anything.
Hi, this is Robert Smith of The Cure.
Hi, this is Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge.
1073 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
We'll be right back.
play another Canadian artist.
Not because we have to, because we want to. Also, it's the law.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
You come out at night. That's when